Good morning. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the producer and host of WTBR's Morning Drive. As you know, we have an election coming up, and WTBR being community-based radio and PCTV being Pittsfield community-based television, we are going to air interviews with all the candidates that responded to our invitations. The order of presentation is exactly how we receive the candidates. First come, first on. Last come, that will be the last interview. Please vote. Please vote. Thank you and God bless. Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR. My name is Bill Sturgeon. We are interviewing the candidates that are running for public office for the city of Pittsfield. My interview is with Craig Benoit. He is the owner of the Hot Dog Ranch in Pittsfield. He's a businessman in the city, been a businessman in the city for a very long time, and he is going to be running again for councilor at large. So without further ado, au revoir, soup du jour, here we go. Craig, how are you this morning?
Great, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really want to give everybody an opportunity to tell the people about themselves and why they're running for office. And that's my first question. Why are you running for office?
Well, Bill, a lot of people have asked me that. And a lot of people said I was crazy. But I don't like the direction that the city's headed in. 2 years ago, I didn't like the direction that we were going. I think it's time to make a change, trying to change the city for the better. And I can do whatever I can possibly do to help that happen.
And you bring with you a lot of business experience as the owner of the Hot Dog Ranch, from the old Hot Dog Ranch, which I have near and dear to my heart, to the new Hot Dog Ranch, which is near and dear to my belly. But was there a specific event or events that made you think about running for public office? It's a big bite for you. You're a busy guy.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I mean, you know, the biggest one is when we were shut down for the COVID operation, when the COVID came through, and I tried to get a hold of the city hall and tried to work with them with no response. So I gathered all the business owners, the restaurant owners, or almost all the restaurant owners. Some of them wouldn't come on with us, but I got a petition signed. We brought it to city hall. We knocked on the door and I refused to leave until someone would come out and talk to me. And after that, we got in negotiations with the mayor, and within the next 7 to 10 days, we got reopened again.
And again, that was a very tumultuous time for a lot of business owners, and yourself included. So was it that single event, or when you say you don't like the way the city's going, can you give me a couple more examples, please?
Well, the city, the crime, the panhandlers downtown. You know, we need to get new business. We need to revitalize downtown. We need to restructure downtown. But we also got to help our small businesses. I mean, the fees and the taxes and stuff we pay are just, it's killing all of us. So we need to, we need to start getting some fiscal responsibility so that we can help new business come in, as well as support our current small businesses, which is a big deal with our economy in Pittsfield. We don't really have a large manufacturer anymore. You know, we need something to support our small businesses, and that's the heart of our city.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of what I call mom and pops or family owned businesses that have been around forever, and you're not the only one saying it's difficult. I'm hearing that from a lot of people, how difficult it is.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And I think that we need to support our, you know, we have to do something as community to just continue to support all our small businesses. They're all vital, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's the lock shop, whether it's the car repair place, whether it's the sign guy, whatever. All these small businesses combined to be the backbone of our community.
When we talk about the panhandlers on North Street, or not just North Street, there seem to be everywhere now, but What would be your approach with that?
Well, I've been talking to the current DA about this and that. You know, in Massachusetts, you can't deny them the right.
Right.
But I'd like to put a proposal to make sure that it's a public safety hazard for these people to be on the medians and right in the traffic. I see it every day. They stand on the side of the roads. Somebody's going to end up hitting one or hurting one, and they're going to be responsible. So I think our first move is to get an ordinance that make it illegal to panhandle in the median strip as a public safety, a public safety
right,
issue.
Right.
And if we can get them all out of there and they start concentrating, then maybe through some attrition, they'll all start to dissipate. But that'll be something else we'll have to address in the future. But let's start with step one. I have a lot of step ones we need to do to get to step two and step three.
Well, and that's fine. And I'm going to, just so you know, at the end, towards the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell people why they should vote for you. And if we don't cover the steps, feel free to jump in there. The other part of the, what's your feeling on the homelessness? How as a counselor, you're going to be right in the middle of that.
Well, you know, the homeless issue is a problem here. But in my right, there's like two different types of homeless people. You got the homeless people who want to get help. They want to do, they go into the shelters, they do that. And then you have the other ones that don't want to do that because they don't want to live by the rules. I've also talked to Mr. Chagru about this too. And I think we should push towards establishing some kind of what they call a wet house. And a wet house is, it's a transition for them. They don't have to get, stop their drugs or stop their alcoholism or whatever the problem is, but we can get them in the house. We'll have the social workers there, get them the help they need, and maybe transition them to a typical shelter and then transition them to back into the community.
So basically, you're taking an approach of helping them get better, not just saying right. You can't come in because you're drunk situation.
That's what there is, the warehouse. They do it down in Northampton, and I think we do explore here and provide the services for them.
Well, it seems a lot more logical than just turning them away.
And, and I get the people up in the Springside neighborhood with the encampment that's up there, and I agree with them. It's not nice. So let's get them out of there. Let's get them into a wet house. Let's do what we can for them, and maybe we can transition them back into the community.
That's, I think, that to me is a logical way of trying to help somebody. And then there are, it just makes good sense. What do you feel are the five most challenging issues facing the city?
Well, as you know, and I hear from everybody, tax rates are going up, water rates are going up. We need to have fiscal responsibility. We need to have, as I said before, I'd like to get an independent audit, get a balance sheet so we know where we're starting and then work for there. We need to get the department heads together. We need to physically find ways that we can save money without raising taxes.
Okay.
Some cuts be made. Some cuts probably be easy to be made, but we also need timely reporting so we can stay on it. We don't need that debacle that we had this past June where the charter objection was and we almost didn't have a budget. Some of those things need to be done and cleaned up as soon as possible. So if we have a timely monthly reporting from our department heads where they are in relation to their budget, we can avoid that problem.
As a business owner, you probably can tell me right exactly where your budget is today.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Button to push on my computer and I can tell you right where I am.
So I think that what you're offering there is not, it is doable. It's just it's a rethinking of how you do it. All right. So, do you have any, go ahead.
Be the police and fire department. We need to refund. I'm not saying refund, but we need a strong police and fire department in this town. You know, everything's related to public safety. If your residents don't feel safe, people don't feel safe. I think they say it can't happen here. I believe we should put a resource officer in every school in the city. I think we should expand our patrols downtown, help them use the services that are available from the sheriff's department, combine our forces. Do whatever we can do to make everybody in this city safe. And that includes the fire department. You know, I see them out all the time on ambulance calls and stuff. They're out all the time. We need to keep and give them support. We need to attract the best quality workers that we can get.
And I won't disagree with that. I think that we might. Let me jump ahead to a question then. Do you think, or what's your opinion on keeping the police and fire and other department in civil service, because the civil service system is broken. We're spending a lot of money on overtime because they can't get a test or the test gets contested. And today, when I was on, we couldn't have unions. We just had an association. So now, I mean, they can have unions and have that union protection. Do you feel we should stay in civil service if it continues on the way it's going? Because it's totally ineffective now. In my, a lot of the towns up north are, have gotten out of it, cities and towns.
I think so, Bill. But again, there's another thing that we need to look at specifically and see what the actual plus and minuses are. I mean, we need to go talk to our firemen. We need to go talk to our policemen. We need to go talk to them, get their feelings and their what they would like to do. The best for both, because an unhappy worker doesn't make for a good day.
No, no, you're right. And I think that's a legitimate approach to it. But we also need to get with our legislators to get down there and start getting this. They're still operating like it's 1960. So it is.
Why I'm running is we need to start implementing some changes around here to make this city the way it used to be. Bring back businesses, make it user friendly for everybody.
I have to ask you this because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a phone call, a text, or stopped at a grocery store. How do you feel about the bike lane and the restructuring of North Street to include the bike lane?
I don't like the way it is right now. I don't think it's the money we spent has any economic impact for downtown. I think we need to look to revitalize downtown. We need to restructure the whole thing. I'm not saying get rid of the bike lanes, but we got to do a different path for them because it's causing chaos. We can't park. Nobody wants to drive downtown. I have a couple ideas about that, but we'll have to see how we are in the budget and what we got room and if we can get grants. But we've got to make it so that it's more business friendly downtown. And it's terrible. No, I've talked to plenty of people. Nobody likes going down there. It's a mess. We had that snowstorm over Christmas. Nobody, the snow, you couldn't tell what lane you were in. You didn't know if you were in the bike lane, you're in the right lane, you're in the left lane. We need to restructure that somehow to make it more friendly for the businesses. And, you know, we do. So we just need to figure out, I don't think we need two lanes on each side of the road. Okay. That's one of my opinions. So we need to look at that and make some changes. And we need to talk to the local businesses down here and say, what do you think? Should we do horizontal parking? Should we do the vertical? What do they want? Yeah. But we need to restructure the bike lanes in order to do that.
Yeah, and I think I just will throw my two cents in. I think it took me 20 minutes to go to BMC the other day from when I approached North Street. I didn't want to go down First Street. There was stuff going on. Something has to be done, and it's not helping the merchants. If you talk to the merchants, they don't feel it's helping them at all.
No, and I talked to a lot of them myself. I mean, I understand, but you know, I was just at the Hotel North the other night talking to the restaurant owner manager there. Yeah. The thing is, you can't. It's just there's limited parking as it is, and I believe by putting those two bike lanes, we created less parking and less access to our local businesses on North Street.
So, another really expensive thing, and something that if should you be elected, you're going to have to deal with. And that's the trash issue. We're hauling trash now because we no longer have the incinerator, blah, 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 blah. What do you think?
Well, Bill, I grew up in North Adams. We never had city sanitation. We always had our own. We had to deal with our own trash. It may be something we should need to look at, the cost of what it costs the city to have all our trash picked up compared to everyone going to a private pickup source. As a businessman and commercial, I have to pay for my own trash. I don't get it included in my taxes to the city because we're commercial. But I mean, we should take a look at that, you know, and maybe we can get some local companies that come in and we'll do rates for our local, you know, you put your trash out like you usually do. It's just you're going to have to pay it, but let's take it off your tax bill. If we can eliminate that whole expense, it'll eliminate your taxes, which will decrease your taxes. And then you're going to shop for the best price and you're going to do the right thing. And you're not going to put a million things of trash out there because you're going to be paying for it. It's just something to look at. I mean, we need to make a comparison and find out what's fiscally available that we can do that will help the residents in any way we can for them to save money, whether it's having them go private and take it off your tax bill or look at our system right now and see what we can do to make it less.
Yeah, and they've been kicking that can down the road for a very long time, as you know, and I know, and they know. Hopefully that's at least you have a proposal worth looking at. How do you feel about the building of a new police station?
I believe we need to definitely address that issue. This area is too small there. Anybody can ride or walk by there. They can see all that where the police cars are, where the undercover cars. And I think it's not something adequate. I have another plan that maybe we can restructure some things and move the police station to one of our buildings that we already have, whether it be, uniting the schools together and have open schools, move. And the best one I'm not going to say it now, but I have a plan for that to move. And then we can take the police station. We can remodel that, and we can take the people out that from City Hall that moved across the street, put them in a police station where we don't have to pay rent, which would be another way to cut costs. But these things are going to take time. There's, like I said, it's a 1-2-3-step approach to all these ideas that I have.
Sure. Yeah, but at least I guess for the public, my opinion for the public is that at least you're coming up with ideas. Whether they're feasible or they're workable or whatever, we don't know until we try them. But at least it's something. So that's my two cents. Sorry.
Fellow councilors, mayor, and try to discuss my ideas and see what we can do. You know what? In business here, I have a lot of ideas. Sometimes they don't work out so good. So you just, all right, bury that, forget that, move on, and just try to make things better.
Yeah. What do you think will be the most difficult part of being a counselor at large?
The most difficult part? I think it's all going to be difficult. It's not an easy job.
Right.
I respect the people who are on there now for doing that. I mean, it takes a lot for people to, use their time and try to help the city out. I think the hardest part is going to be is trying to get everybody on the same page, so we all go in the same direction. How are we going to make the city better? I might have a good idea. You might have a good idea. Let's work them together to have a great idea. Let's just not send things through because that's just the way it's going to be.
Very good. That's how will you being on the city council benefit the city council and the people of Pittsfield?
Well, Bill, I'll tell you, I mean, I've been in business for 19 years. I've gone through some adversity with my partner, with COVID, but we persevered and we got through. I think that's going to be one of my strong qualities, that I will work to get and persevere to get things through for the best interest of the city. I know we can do it. It's just a matter of time. And like I said, one step at a time.
There's a lot of challenges facing the city. And if I'm not mistaken, you brought it up before, and that was the plowing of the city. I know that at Christmas time, that was a big deal. I can't even remember how many calls and texts. And how would we prevent that from happening again? How would you, if you're on the council?
Well, that's why we need to go talk to our department heads, and we need to ask them: Do we have enough salt and sand in inventory? How are you doing next to your budget? How are we doing in relation to payroll? That snowstorm affected everybody in the city of Pittsfield. We have problems. There's some issues that come up. There's a pothole not filled in Ward 4, and there's a sidewalk broke. But that just affects the tiny amount. But when something like that happens, that affects the whole city of Pittsfield. Not saying that those other things aren't important, but that's what the people look at, and that's what we got to do. We got to make sure that we're representing our people and providing the best services possible, the most economical way that we can, and to continue to promote our city. Some people come in and saw that debacle that night. They're going to go, yeah. I'm not going to.
One of the other things that I really think, how will your presence on the council, if you're elected, bring more collegiality rather than all this friction between between individuals.
Bill, I'm really open-minded. I deal with hundreds of people every day, 1,000 people. Who knows how many people come in here? Different personalities. Everybody has their different wants and their needs. And I try to deal with them all in an individual, respectable manner, which I will do with all the other city councilors. It's no good for the city of Pittsfield to have argument after argument after argument, waste everybody's time. When I call all the need, you know, if you sit down, you talk it out, make a reasonable decision, defend what you want to do, I'll prove to them my idea is good. And they have to prove to me their idea is good. But you have to have an open mind. You got to be receptive to new ideas. You just can't go by the status quo, the way we used to do things. Let's make the change. Let's do it right. Let's get everybody involved. We can get everybody on the same page for the good of Pittsfield. It only benefits the city of Pittsfield.
You mean you're going to try to break down that famous bureaucratic saying, we've always done it that way?
Absolutely, Bill. There are other ways.
Yeah. You know? Oh, believe me, I've been in systems that were changed. Change is possible, but you have to, like you're saying, you're going to present it, and you're not just dug your heels in. You're open to flexible. You're flexible about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the way to do it. You offer an idea.
Yeah.
And let's say, hey, well, you know, instead of doing that one part, let's change it to that. But it still, as a whole, you're going to try to accomplish what you set forward to do.
You bring business experience. How will that benefit you and the council and the citizens of Pittsfield? Your past experience in business. Just elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, Bill, you know, in business, things happen. Stuff breaks, stuff do that. So you have to be very adjustable, but you need to be focused. We need to have a proper balance sheet to start. Because if I don't have a balance sheet to start, I can't tell you where the finish line is. So we need to know where we start. What happened before, happened before. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not on the council. But let's have a goal at the end of the year to where we want to be. And how are we going to get to that goal? We're going to be fiscally responsible. You know, we're going to try to streamline things. We're going to try to help our citizens, you know, cuts. Hopefully we don't have to, I don't want to raise taxes. That's the last thing I want, especially in business. You don't want to raise your prices. So I'm going to look to make cuts where we can possibly do it. If we need to go line item by line item by line item and every department has a budget, then so be it. But like I said, step one will lead to two, which will lead to three.
And being a businessman, that's probably the way you run your business. You look at everything in totality. And I think that would be a wonderful approach to it, in my humble opinion, that we a lot of people talk about lowering taxes. I'm going to lower taxes, but they don't have a plan.
Well, my plan right now is lowering taxes would be great.
Yeah.
Right now it's not using them anymore. Enough's enough. So let's look at ways to keep our expenses down so we don't have to raise taxes anymore. That's the bottom line of business. I don't want to raise my prices. If I raise my prices, people get mad. So I have to look to cut expenses. I shop my cost of goods. I look for this. I look anything I can find, I do. So that's the same mentality we got to bring to the city in the budget part, by the department heads, line item by line item, and see where we can make a change. Because it affects too. Those people also are taxpayers in the city of Pittsfield.
Yeah.
Let's work together. Let's find a way to cut our costs and make everybody work out, and everything, you know, comes together without having to raise our taxes.
One of the big issues when I was in government, one of the big issues was always to tailor the budget. But you have to remember, you have to be cautious, because you don't want to tailor services, say the police and fire, even trash or public works or whatever. So I do think if you go back and look at it in totality, there's places where you can nip and tuck, as I used to say.
Well, there's essential services that we can't afford to cut. There's essential services we may have to increase spending on. But let's increase them where we need to. Let's cut where we can cut without raising our taxes again.
And I guess that was the thing. One last question, and I don't mean to put you in the middle of this. But what's your opinion of the charter objection? Because the charter's coming up for a relook now, and what is your feeling? Because this what happened this time, but it's happened in the past.
Well, I mean, I still think we got to leave that in there somewhat. Maybe we make it that if there's going to be a charter objection, we need a third of the vote from the city councilors.
Majority, yeah.
One, you know, if you have a reason to have a charter objection, see if you can get your fellow councilors on board with it. Say, hey, look at the three of us or the four of us feel it's this way. Let's make the objection and then fulfill the promise of getting things done.
And as far as one last, and this is a silly question, but I write silly questions. Why would you? I lease my vehicles. I don't buy anymore. And I've often thought, and I've been told, oh, we studied it. I've studied it too, and it's cheaper for me to lease. And why not lease rather than buy?
Our city vehicles?
Yeah.
The biggest reason would be mileage. We don't know how many miles we're going to be put on the car. So it sounds like a great deal now because you're only spending so much a month. But when you come time to terminate that lease, I mean, our city vehicles drive around the city all the time. Now, if the extra mileage charge gets put on, if there's any damage, you know, a little nick. I think we should stay buying our own vehicles, shop wisely, you know, get the best price that we can get and go on from there.
Okay. Well, and again, that someday when I'm there for a hot dog, we'll have that discussion. But no, I know what you're saying. And one last thing, and this will get me in a lot of trouble with a lot of people.
No, you're good at it.
No, I know. When I was a young cop, nobody took the car home. We used to pick the captains up in the morning and take them home at night. I see a ton of city vehicles parked all over the city. And actually, just this weekend, someone brought that to my attention. And is that part of the mileage issue too? I guess the question is, has anybody looked at why all these people get to bring their vehicles home?
That would be my first question. I know some city workers, they are on call for the weekend and they should have their vehicles there. They shouldn't be taking their first, you know, if you're home and you're on call and the water leg, they should. Should everybody bring them home? Absolutely not. Only the ones that are required for being on call, emergency related services. I agree with 100%. But then again, there you go. Now the vehicles are being driven to homes instead of being parked. There's more mileage. That's where it could affect the lease. I mean, here's something that we got to sit down and look at. I said, line item by line item. Is it worth leasing them or is it worth buying them? You know, who's going bringing the cars home and why are they bringing the cars home? You know, those are the ones that were on call. I agree with that 100%.
Craig, I'm not going to take any more of your time. You have about 4 minutes, 3.5, 4 minutes to tell the people why they should vote for Craig Monoy for councilor at large. It's your program, brother.
Thank you, Bill. And again, thank you for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. And I mean that. And I wish you the very best of luck. And I want to personally thank you because I know how busy you are for throwing your hat in the ring. Thank you.
You're welcome, Bill. Well, I think the reason I'm here to make change. I'm here to make sure we stay fiscally responsible. I want to ensure the public safety. We need to enforce our police and our fire department and our public services. We need to go to the schools. We need to make sure that the children are getting their needs met. Let's hear from them and the teachers and the paralegals. All these people are very important to our growth. We should work deeply with the Berkshire Innovation Center to draw new businesses, showing them that we have very skilled labor, and it starts at Taconic High School.
Yes, it does.
It's a whole bleed down effect. We need to make sure that our money is being spent in the right ways and show that we're fiscally responsible for what we do in the city to draw businesses in, to make sure that they know they can be here. They'll have a strong workforce. There's fiscal, like I said, there's light risk responsibilities where they know they can go and say, hey, we need this. Let's work on, let's help bring new businesses. Let's support our small businesses that are already here and just make it a community of people want to live in and come to see and, you know, move here instead of having all their kids graduating from high school and leaving and never coming back. our population's shrinking and our population's getting old. So we need to do something about that now.
Well, I can personally attest to the getting old piece.
But,
so, Craig, I wish you the best. Thank you so much for coming on. For the listeners and the viewers, you know my new mantra now. You don't vote, don't gripe. Because right. You have to get out and support the people who have thrown their hat in the ring. Craig has he's a very busy guy, but he sees and wants the city. He deserves you going out to vote, as do all the candidates. So without that, please don't vote, don't gripe. Go ahead, Craig.
I humbly ask for everybody's vote for this in November 7th. And it's our right to vote. And it's a privilege to vote. So please get out and vote. We didn't have a very good turnout for the primary. Let's increase that. Let's get 40-70% on turnout for voting. Let's hear all your voices, and then we'll know where we stand and how you want things done.
You've all heard me say this before. If you don't vote, the next time you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags, say, I'm sorry. You at some point in time put your life on the line so I could vote, but I was too busy. Craig, best of luck, and thank you for running. And I mean that sincerely. You're a good person, a great guy. You're Folks, welcome. We got to go. Craig, good luck, brother.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR. FM.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
This is WTBR Morning Drive. As part of our community service, community effort, we are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. We are interviewing the people initially who are in contested races for the upcoming November election. Today, I'm honored and privileged to have with me Kathy Amuso, someone I've known for a very, very long time. And she is running for city councilor at large. And we're going to spend about a half an hour, 28 minutes to a half an hour talking with Kathy about, well, first of all, Kathy, why are you running for the city councilor's position at large?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me that. And, you know, I had been on the school committee for 10 years and the council for 4, and I truly needed a break. You know, I still do other things. I was a trustee at the library, school building needs. So I always stayed involved and engaged in a lot of things.
Yes, you do.
That, you know, I feel benefit our city. And I don't know, I have this calling, and I think I know I work hard. I think I make a difference. And so I threw my hat in the ring again for at large.
Well, first of all, as I say to everyone, thank you for doing it.
Yep.
Good luck. But thank you because the system just doesn't work unless people get involved.
Exactly.
Now we're seeing that with the city, with this school committee. We got just enough people.
Yeah.
And I applaud you for doing it. You have been a contributor to the city for over many decades, and with the school committee and the school. I will have to say this about Kathy, the patience to have been on the school building needs committee,
yeah,
iconic, is far exceeds my patience. So,
well, I've been on that, you know, and I say this all the time. You would think I would remember the exact time I started something and ended or didn't end. But when you're involved in a lot of things, you don't track when you started and when you left. And I think I've been on the school building needs since about 2006. And we actually have a meeting this afternoon at Taconic at 5. So I've continued to be on it. I co-chair with Superintendent Joe Curtis.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole process leading up to and completing Taconic High School truly was a process. And as you go forward into any process, there are things that you never foresee that happen.
Yeah.
And especially with Taconic, early on, 2009, 10, 11, you know, the state asked us, well, we really need you to look into a regional school. Well, when you look into a regional school, so you have to talk to all these surrounding school districts. And Jake Eberwein was the superintendent at the time, and he spent a lot of time talking to the other districts, and they really didn't want to come on board with a regional district. But that slowed the process down probably a year, year and a half, because if you do want to do a regional school, you have to do your due diligence. And yeah, Jake did. But that's, you know, Taconic High School is one of the things that I'm most proud of being involved in. And I was on the school committee when I started that and ended as a city councilor. And one of the things that we did as a school committee, we spent quite a bit of time deciding what programs we would have in our vocational department.
Yeah.
And now that we all know that Taconic is transitioning to a vocational high school, you know, that extra time spent deciding what programs we would have paid off.
Yes.
And we get more monies for vocational students, and we get more money for any students that are choosing into our district from other communities.
And I believe it's stopping the hemorrhaging of students leaving our district.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a bigger platform to choose from.
And it does.
You know, I can't thank Dr. Eberwein, Dr. McCandless, Joe Curtis, and all the people that were involved with that. Taconic is just a real gem in the crown of Pittsburgh, in my opinion.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time, and I think we did a lot of things right out there, and it took a lot of time. And so we're going to go forward with a vocational school that's going to really meet the needs of our community. We always talk, and we have to work with our businesses. And I believe at this point, almost every vocational program has a partner. And I think they're wrapping up a couple partners, because that's so important. And that was important before, too. You want to make sure that you have the right equipment, you're doing the right things, you're working on the right things, you have the right curricula. So it's a success story that we should celebrate.
Yes, it is. And just for the viewers and listeners, Kathy was part of it as a school committee person on the Building Needs Commission and as the city council. So there's a lot of experience there. Was there a specific event or incident or whatever that made you want to get back into it?
I don't think there was anything specific that made me want to get back into it. It's just that I like doing the work to make Pittsfield better.
Yeah.
I like working with the people that want to make Pittsfield better in the businesses. One of the things that I think we have to work together on, and I may say I sometimes during this interview, but it's always a we.
Yeah.
You know, I am part of a process that includes a lot of people from a lot of different areas. And I'm on North Street a couple times a day, or usually. I think we can improve North Street. I am not the only person that feels that. And I feel that North Street is one of the most talked about problems that we have.
Yes, it is.
I know the businesses aren't happy. I think there's ways to make it better. And I'm not going to sit here and say I have every answer to what should happen on North Street, but I do want to work with the businesses. I want to work with our elected officials. I want to work with the people from Pittsfield. I know what we have right now isn't working. About 6 weeks ago, I picked up somebody after church. They went to the 4 o'clock mass.
Yeah.
And so we were lucky enough. We got a parking place right in front of St. Joe Church. My aunt got in the car. And of course, then you get over to the lane close to the median. And then the right lane is for the bikers. Mm-hmm. And probably since before the YMCA, a car came right down the bike lane and took the right on Maplewood.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I was walking up North Street and there's a biker coming down on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I said, geez, and I don't usually do this, but I said, geez, why don't you, you know, go on the bike lane? He said, there's room for us here on the sidewalks. So I think first, do we need a bike lane? And that's what I'd like to hear from everybody. And then there's been some options about a bike lane.
Right.
I know some people have discussed, you know, the sidewalk, a bike lane, a curb, and then the car travelers.
Yes.
And I talked to former counselor Lisa Tully, and she has a home in Florida.
Yeah.
And she brought up an interesting one. She said they always have two lanes in Florida. And one lane is only for cars, and the other lane is to share for the cars and the bikes. Hmm. Now, people probably wouldn't want to get behind me if I was biking on North Street, but there's many people that use that bike lane that they go as fast. And, you know,
yeah.
The speed limit on North Street isn't high, but there's some options I think we have to make it better. And I think we can, and I want to really hear from the business community what would work for them too.
Yeah, I think you're that's going to be a welcome, and in fact, that's how do you feel about the North Street bike lane? Was question four, because the last time I think that I got as many clicks, phone calls, email. About a specific thing is when they wanted to tear down PHS, and the other time was when they wanted to change Columbus Avenue to MLK Boulevard. You've been in city government a long time, or in or around it for many years. What do you think are the five most challenging issues facing the city today?
The issues that I see that when I have talked to people in the last few months.
Yeah.
Obviously North Street is one.
Yeah.
The panhandlers are another. Safety. And I am looking forward to a vote in 2024 for a new chief. Taxes. And infrastructure. And I think those are almost what everybody has said as I talk to them. You know, the taxes, you have, you know, probably about an 85% fixed operating budget. So there's not a lot of way, you know, think of the same thing at your house. You know, yeah. You have so many monthly expenses, and what do you have left?
Yeah.
But I think we have, you know, you have to look at people's services. Programs, are they running the way they should be run? Do we need them? Can we tweak them? The other thing you have to look at, are we getting every penny that we're entitled to? You know, when we look at our revenues, are we getting everything that we can from the state and federal government, everything that we need? So again, it's a collaboration and we need to work together. But one of the worst meetings I had every year on the council was setting the tax rate.
Right.
Because I know when we set the tax rate, what people's reactions are going to be when we get our tax bill. And listen, I have the same reaction as anybody getting their tax bill.
Sure.
So I'd like to see, are there places where we can be more efficient, or can we work together on some things? What is mandatory? What do we need? So a lot of work can be done on that. But, you know, people open their tax bills, and it's shocking sometimes.
Along with everything else, along with the cost of heating and the cost of electricity,
yeah.
And now the taxes. I mean, I used to be on a fixed income. Now I'm on a shrinking income because My retirement doesn't go up, but everything else is. And so the other thing, Kathy, I think you the school department's budget is the biggest chunk of the city's mm-hmm. budget.
Yeah.
You, with all your background in the school committee and the building needs and all that, I kind of got angry at some people, not angry, but I tried to put it forth. They're saying, well, they got this guy and they got a deputy superintendent for this. Much of this, and you know this, and I think you'll be able to bring it to light is why I'm doing it, is mandated by the state. So you have to have somebody do that. And I think sometimes, I think that could be sold better to the public. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think so. People see the same thing we see too. We have, when I first started on the school committee, I think we had 6,200 students.
Right.
I mean, we have about 5,200 students. So they say, well, why can't you, you know, decrease your spending that amount? But just like you said, we have a lot of mandates. Pittsfield Public Schools obviously are the largest district in Berkshire County. We have the most programs of any school in Berkshire County. We have the most AP classes. We have the best special ed department.
Yeah.
And these all are services that we have had to provide and should provide to our students and our families. But I think we can take a look at what the expenses are and where people are. I think every year we should do that. Look and see what has changed. What do we have to have? What can we tweak? So I think there are things on the city side and on the school side we can look at and see if there's any redundancy, see if there's any expenditures that we can eliminate. So it again, you look at everything and see what you can work on. But again, there are a lot of mandates, and maybe that should be the first page of the school committee's budget. These are the mandated items. This is what the dollar amount is. And then we go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I'd give anything to see that, because then they can say, this is what the state told us. And then the other piece is the cities and towns can come together with their legislatures and say, you got to get down to these bureaucrats. They want this report every month or whatever. It's just not practical, but that's a topic for another day. How do you feel about building a new police station?
You know, we've talked about building a new police station for over a decade, too.
Yeah.
You know, when we built Taconic, when you talk about that, there's a lot of mandates to your buildings when you're doing programs like that. I want to work with people on that. I think there may be some options, but I think we have to make sure it's the right option for our police department and for our city. I haven't spent a lot of time on that, but I know what we currently have is not working.
No.
And so again, happy to work with the new police chief. And again, we're going to have a new mayor. I'll work with the new police chief, our new mayor, our counselors, our state and federal people, because what we have isn't the right building or the right way to offer services to our, you know, we have hardworking policemen and women, and it's not the right building.
What's your feeling on, should the police and fire chief be, as this referendum, be citizens of the city of Pittsfield or live within the city?
That's a good question. I like the idea that they, yes, live in our city. These are important positions that we have.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, if you're director of budget, rarely, I mean, I guess it could happen, but you're not going to get called in at 3 a.m.
Right.
Because, you know, we have a fire, we have a police situation. And so I would prefer that our fire chief and police chief be from Pittsfield. I want to see who's applying. I would like it to be from our new police chief from our current
department.
But I am also hearing maybe some of the people that you would expect that may be in line for the position may not want it. So we'll see how it comes, you know, how it works out and see who applies. And, you know, there's going to be a comprehensive process. And, you know, this is leading one of the most important departments in Pittsfield. So it's a serious vote, and I look forward to that.
What do you think the most difficult part? You've been on the council, but as an at-large, what do you think the most difficult part of the job will be, being a councilor at large?
You know, I don't find any of it difficult.
Okay.
I find sometimes it's frustrating. I find sometimes people don't get back to me as soon as I feel like they should have. So I find it more frustrating than difficult.
Okay.
So I guess the difficult piece was sometimes breaking through whatever the layers are that you need to get to figure out what the resolution would be. So I don't think it's difficult. I think it's time consuming, and it sometimes it takes a lot of time to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
The one of the I'm going to say haunting issues, because it's been haunting us for a while.
Yeah.
And that's trash.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that? I know there's been proposal after proposal it seems to stall out somewhere. Well, now we're in a crisis.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think that the trash situation is an area that we may be able to improve and save money. It will take the people of Pittsfield to do the right thing or do what's required of them. I know Linda Tyer brought forth some processes while I was on the council. What I would like to see is a process with more communication and Pittsfield residents involved in it. I can honestly say I probably don't recycle as best as I can. And, you know, we're only a 2-person family now, and boy, we have a lot of trash. So I know I can do better. And if I can do better, I know most people can do better. And I do think that's an area that we may be able to increase revenue and increase process. So I think that's something that we have to give a serious look at, include the community, have some meetings, and, you know, have some options. And I think that's one area that we can improve.
It's something, it's a priority now. I mean, we're paying a ton of money to haul it out of town.
We don't have the transfer station anymore. What can we do with that? Trash is huge. We need to improve it. We need to do better. We need to work on that.
They're saying that they're going to be a review of the charter. What is your gut on the charter objection?
I like the charter objection. I've used it in my 4 years. I used it 2 times. I think you may need to tweak it a little bit, and maybe the budget isn't the right place to have it. So maybe you can use it. But there were the couple times that I used it. And you have to remember, everybody, you do your work on, you know, all the agenda items and, you know, the things going on in Pittsfield. But you have 11 people on the city council. And then you have, you know, whatever the agenda item, you might have a couple experts speaking on a topic. And sometimes there are things that you didn't think about that come up during those discussions. And maybe other people didn't think about. And again, I put a pause on 2 agenda items, and it let me do more work and research and listen and then decide what I wanted to do. So I like it. And again, maybe have some restrictions.
One candidate said it shouldn't be just one person. It should not a majority, but it should be more than one counselor doing it. I don't know. I see what you're saying. It could be tweaked. I think it almost threw one of the reasons it's come up from outside of candidates and why it's a question was people that were that do pay attention said we almost threw ourselves into a tailspin. And you know what that's like. You've been there. The other piece that I find, how if you're elected, basically how will you benefit the council?
I think I've always been.
And the city.
Well, because I collaborate, and I think that's the most important. I am open-minded. I'm willing to look at other options. But then at the end of the day, with all the information I have and the people I talk to, I listen to the people of Pittsfield, and I make the best decision that I can for the city of Pittsfield. And I've always done the work needed to get to where I make what I think is the best vote for the people of Pittsfield. I've always been engaged, and people of Pittsfield will get a hard worker.
I agree, because I've watched you on these committees. I always go back to the school building needs committee, because that's where I lost my hair pulling it out. She was like, what color do you want? I don't care what color it is. But going back one more time to what's your number one focus, if you get on? What's your priority to get into? We've covered a lot of them. What's your, Kathy Amuso's number one priority?
North Street. And it's not only mine. It's almost every person that I've spoken to since I've started campaigning. And we've already talked about this. It will take a long time to change what's there, because we have gotten grant money for North Street, and other, federal and state agencies have been involved. And listen, I'm not criticizing who has done what on North Street and how they did it, because you have information available to you. You have monies available, and we're a Berkshire County or culture, and our outdoors in the summer. And so, a bike lane probably sounded good. And like I said, I don't know if we need a bike lane or not right now, but I want to look at that. But you do the best you can with the information you have. And I think now we look at it, and we have to do the best again with the information we have, and how do we do it? It's not an easy process to change something when, you've had grant money involved and money from the state involved. So there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of conversations to be had.
And I think, too, that what you just said is just really viable approach to look at it, because I don't think people fully understand when you take this money to do something.
Yeah.
If you change your mind, there's strings attached.
Exactly.
I've been with the government a long time. If they're giving you something, there's strings attached. Trust
me. Yeah. If you do this and you do it this way, you're basically stuck with it. Well, we don't, from what I'm hearing on the campaign trail, people don't want to be stuck with it. So we want to collaborate and do the work needed to make North Street. It's from our beautiful Colonial Theater down to Berkshire Health Systems, where I work, this is our gateway to our city.
Yes.
And I think when we fix North Street, it will branch out to the other areas of our city. Monsignor Mike shouldn't have had to take down great thriving shrubbery because of drug use there.
Right.
So, I'm not saying when we fix North Street, it's just about the bike lane. No, we have to look at the buildings on North Street. I'm happy. White Terrace was sold. It's going to be affordable housing. The Wright Building, Allegroni, is going to be updating that in 2024. There's a lot of really good things happening on North Street that we all have to work on and make sure it's the right way, so that our North Street is our beautiful gateway to everywhere in Pittsfield. So when I say that the substance use abuse that we have, the homelessness, there's a lot of things to work on that I think starts with North Street, and it branches out, and we all work together. And what are the agencies that need to be involved? Because Pittsfield as a city isn't going to resolve anything. But our community and our resources and our agencies working together, that's how we're going to get things done.
Kathy, you have 3 to 5 minutes to tell the folks why they should vote for Kathy Amuso.
Well, you know, I've always been passionate about our city. I'm a lifelong resident of Pittsfield. My husband is. And when I ran before, I said, you know, I want to work on, you know, things that are going on in Pittsfield because I want my sons. I have 2 sons. Yep. I want them to be lifelong residents of Pittsfield because there's nothing better than having your family close. Because some of my friends, their families don't live so close.
Yeah.
And you don't get to see them a lot. And my 2 sons now have houses in Pittsfield.
Oh, cool.
You know? Yeah. And I want them to stay here. So I want our city and our community to thrive so that not just me, not just my sons, but every family can thrive and have a city that they're proud of. And I've always, like I said, I've always done the work that I feel I need to do, and I work hard. I'm dedicated, I'm accessible, and I've always been responsive to the people of Pittsfield. You know, when I've gotten calls throughout the city, yeah, I help whoever I can, and I work with the counselors of the wards and the mayor and whoever I need to. And I think I can make it better again. And I've worked hard before, and I'll work hard again.
Kathy wants you to vote for her.
Yeah.
I just want you to vote. I don't care. I really don't care who you vote for. Because you know my new mantra, right? Don't vote, don't gripe. Because I, after every election, the first one I start getting complaints, Kathy, I say to the people, did you vote? Oh, I didn't have time. Well, you know what? The next time you walk into a cemetery, you see all those flags? At some point in time, each one of those persons put their life on the line so you could vote. So there's no excuses. And Pittsfield makes voting. I've lived all over the world. Pittsfield makes voting so easy. It's a criminal offense if you don't do it.
And right now you can go up to City Hall and you can get a mail-in, a ballot for mail-in, and they'll mail it to you. So that's going on right now. So, you know, if you're not going to be around, get your mail-in ballot. But yes, get out and vote and have a voice in how Pittsfield is going to be run for the next 2 to 4 years.
Kathy Amuso, thank you for the, thank you, first of all, for throwing your hat in the ring. Good luck, and thanks for coming on the program. We'll talk however this thing ends up.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Bill.
Okay. Have a good trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. God bless. And remember, like Kathy, let's take care of each other.
Yeah.
It'll make you feel better by doing it. Really.